Welcome to Bible Center Church, and thank you so much for joining us on BC Podcast. Here's a message to encourage your heart this week.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's so fun to be here, especially on Father's Day, as we've mentioned multiple times. John and I share a father, my father who's back there, Tom Stout, and my mom and dad, Tom and Faye Stout, if you know them, they're amazing. And yes, we just had the privilege of dragging them around Israel for 10 days, 45 sites, I think, in 10 days. It was crazy, but it was life-changing. I've had the privilege of traveling all around the world, never been to Israel. And if you've never been, if you ever have an opportunity, it's just an amazing, amazing place. Thank you so much. You know, we talked about camp this morning. I love camp. I mean, my life was changed when I was 13 years old at a Word of Life camp up in Scroon Lake, New York, where John mentioned already that we lived for 10 years. I've been serving with Word of Life really ever since, almost 30 years since I graduated from high school. And we believe in the power of the gospel and the potential of teenagers. And so that's what we want, to bring that message all around the world, in 88 countries right now around the world, about 1,600 full-time missionaries, some of whom you support, John and Christy Page. This was Christy's home church, and I already heard some horror stories about her when she was a teenager, and it shows that God can use even a crazy teenager. And they are doing an amazing job, John and Christy, in Africa and the Middle East now. God is opening some amazing doors, even working with young people. In fact, in just a couple weeks, we're going to be there in North Africa, in a restricted access country or creative access country where it's really just the underground church that exists. And we had an opportunity to train some of those youth leaders or the leaders in the underground church there. And we decided, hey, let's come back and do a program for the children and for the teenagers that they probably never have an opportunity to experience. So we're going to kind of take a mini camp to this country with all of these. So you can pray for that. And also just next week, I'll have the privilege, actually, what's today, Sunday? Tuesday. So in 2 days, I'll be in Vietnam, and also with the opportunity to work with youth leaders in teaching them, training them how to have disciple-making youth ministries, and then also doing a camp there. And so you can pray for the teenagers there. There are, you know, teenagers are really teenagers all around the world, and they all have potential to become real powerful followers of Jesus Christ. So we pray with us about that. Now, as you've been seeing this wonderful series on the fruit of the Spirit, this is Galatians chapter 5 is probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, as you've already been studying about the different fruit of the Spirit, today we come to faithfulness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So what comes to your mind when you hear the word faithfulness? How would you define it? Maybe as a husband, you would say, well, a husband who's faithful to his wife. Or a father, as we think about Father's Day, a father who's faithful to the mother of his children, who he hasn't cheated on her. He's been faithful. Or maybe you think about a guy that goes to work, and he's there 8 to 5 every day. He shows up on time. He leaves on time. He doesn't cheat. He does his job. He's faithful. A student, perfect attendance at school, faithful. You think about that wonderful, sweet old lady. I don't know if I'm allowed to say old. You say elderly, seasoned lady that's, you know, that has come to church her entire life, and she sat in the same spot, and, you know, and that's dangerous, because I remember one time years ago I was preaching. I was a guest preacher in a church, and I showed up, and my wife remembers this. I did there. I preached the message, and afterwards she comes up to me. She says, "Sonny, that was wonderful, but I really had a hard time concentrating the entire time, because all I could think about was the fact that you sat in the seat that I've been sitting in for the last 60 years, you know, and I felt horrible, you know. That's great. But maybe for you, that's what comes to your mind when you think about faithfulness. But here's the question: what if faithfulness is more than that? Many times we have an idea that faithfulness is simply this idea of showing up and not blowing it. Hey, if I show up, and I don't mess up, I'm faithful. But many times, you know, as believers, we think of that day where one day we will all stand individually, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account of that which we've done in our body, whether it be good or useless. And our sin has been taken care of, but one day we will give an account still of how we've lived our life. And that will be a time for reward or a lack of reward. And when we stand before Jesus in that day, what is the thing that all of us want to hear him say? Well done, good and faithful servant. So if that is the day that we are living for, if we are living for that day to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant, wouldn't it be important that you and I have the same definition of faithfulness as Jesus? Because if our definition of faithfulness is simply to show up and not blow it, it's possible that one day when we stand before Jesus, we will have a rude awakening to find out that faithfulness was much more than that. And so that's what we want to look at for a few minutes this morning, particularly looking at two passages of Scripture that are related to faithfulness. One we're going to take a little more time in, and the other one we're going to just wrap up real quickly with at the end, and it'll all tie it together. The first passage we see in John chapter 15, verse 9, and it will talk to us about this concept that faithfulness is the ongoing expression of love. Faithfulness, I believe in many ways, Jesus' definition of faithfulness can be summed up in a couple things, and one of them is this, that faithfulness is an ongoing expression of love. And we see this, first of all, in John chapter 15, where Jesus says this in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. Now, as I read this, as we read this together, listen for a few words that come out multiple times that should catch your attention. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you, love one another. Now, though Jesus doesn't explicitly use the word faithful in this text, faithfulness is written all over it. As we think about this ongoing expression of love, three words that you may be heard over and over again were remain, command, and love in this text. And I think that gives us this picture of this ongoing expression. First of all, ongoing. The idea of ongoing is found in this word remain, right? For us, remain is often the concept that we have of faithfulness. Jesus says, remain in my love. Remain is this idea, maybe your Bible translates it abide. Maybe your Bible translates it dwell. The idea is to stay, like in a house, to remain there, to dwell there, to abide there, to stay there. That is often our idea of faithfulness, and that is very true. It is something that is ongoing. It is something that is continual. We're dwelling, we're staying, we're abiding. It's continuing. It's ongoing. But how do I do that? Is that all it is? Is just to dwell? Is it just to show up? Is it just to be there? Is it just to stay or to remain? No, Jesus says it's more than that. How, he said, he then goes on to say how we should remain in his love. In verse 10, he says this, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So it's not just ongoing, but it's also an expression. It's something that is evident. It's something that is seen by doing what? By keeping his commands. This is the first hint, really, that faithfulness, you and I being faithful, is something more than just showing up and not blowing it. Faithfulness is more than just consistency in not doing what is wrong. Faithfulness is about consistency in doing what is right, in keeping his commands, in obeying, obedience. Now, at first, that might sound kind of cold or harsh. Jesus is saying, hey, how do you remain in my love? You keep my commands. But when we think of all of us, you know, we might not all be parents here, but we've all been children, right? And when we think of our parents, and when our parents were giving us commands that were reasonable and that were looking out for our best interest. Now, I know that all the parents here are like, yeah, that's right. And if the kids were in here, they'd be like, well, I'm not too sure about that. I mean, I think about all my childhood punishments. I read this the other day. All my childhood punishments have become my adult goals. Eating vegetables, staying home, having a nap, going to bed early, right? You ever heard that? I mean, things seem unreasonable as a child, but really, most of the things that our parents ask us to do is simply because they love us, is because they want us to be healthy adults. And if that works with our earthly parents, our earthly father, how much more with our heavenly father? The commands that he gives us are for our good. You know this, right? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, love this verse. It says, for this is what the love of God is, to keep his commands. So the way that I love God and show God that I love him is by keeping his commands. But I love the second part, right? It says, and his commands are not a burden. If you look at the Christian life and all that God asks for you to do as a burden, then you truly do not understand who God is and his love for you. Everything, infinitely more than even our earthly father here, our earthly father, everything that God asks of us is for our good. He is guiding us because he loves us, and the way that we are faithful and we show our love to him is by obeying these commands that he gives us for our own good. But we said it's not just ongoing, it's not just an expression. Remember the three words that Jesus used over and over again in John chapter 15? Remain, command, but then he says this, what is his command? This is my command, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Then he reminds us again in verse 17, this is what I command you, love one another. So Jesus repeats 9 times in 9 verses, love. Because this is the heartbeat of faithfulness. This is the heartbeat of obeying God. It makes sense, right? Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. This guy, he asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, what's the most important command in the law? And what did Jesus say? He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. Now, Jesus, he could have just left it there. All the guy did was ask him, what's the most important command? Jesus told him, but he didn't stop there. But he said, oh, but the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, he didn't have to add that. But that's how important it is to God, to the heart of God. And then he gives this amazing, astounding statement. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Now, you know, working with teenagers, when we talk about the obeying God and getting into the Bible. It is easy, if you have a physical Bible, when you look at this, you're like, oh my word, this Bible is massive. I mean, I just look at this Bible right here. It's got over, if I get all the way to the end, not counting the maps, I'm at about 1,006 pages. When was the last time you read a 1,000-page book, right? And enjoyed it? Well, 1,000-page book, and the pages are super thin and the writing is super small. And, you know, for a teenager, but maybe even for yourself, you're like, God, are you telling me that for me to love you, I got to do all of this? I'm never going to even understand all of this. How am I getting? And that is the incredible thing about the Word of God. You can spend, this book is so rich, is so deep, is so powerful. You can spend your entire life studying it and being enriched by it and growing in it and never just barely scratch the surface. That's how deep it is. That's how complex it is. That's how rich it is. Yet at the same time, Jesus says, all of this can be summed up in two things. All of the commands of all the prophets, all of the law can be summed up in two things. And what it is, what is it? Love God and love others, right? Isn't that amazing? It's incredibly complex, incredibly deep, but at the same time, it's incredibly simple. And that is the key to faithfulness, to being faithful, is being obedient in an ongoing way to those two commands, loving God and loving others. And by the way, I just think that is an amazing window into God's character. Because the God of the universe, who created all that is, all that exists, the omnipotent, all-powerful one, he could have commanded us to do anything. And it was totally his right. But of all the things to command us to do, he commanded us to love one another. That's the character of God. That's incredible. And that's how we are faithful. I mean, we see this over and over in Scripture, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, those first verses, the love chapter that, you know, you've read in all of the weddings, even people that don't know God, they read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at their weddings. But what does it say at the very beginning? It says that you can be the most intelligent, you could be the most successful, you could be the most religious person on earth, but if you don't have love, you have nothing, right? In that same chapter, we see here abide faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Even in Galatians chapter 5, our text that we're looking at over these weeks, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, what is the very first fruit that's listed in the fruit of the Spirit? Love. So here's the question, really. When we talk about faithfulness, we cannot divorce it from love. Because being faithful means an ongoing, continual obedience, expression, obedience to God's commands, and his command is what? To love one another. So we cannot divorce love from faithfulness. So here's the question. When we talk about, are you being faithful? Really the question should more be, are you actively and continually loving God and loving others? Not just from time to time, but constantly. And is that growing? Like, for example, let's go back. For the husband in his marriage, or the spouse, the wife to the husband, you're not just coexisting with your spouse. There might be some of you here this morning, you simply feel like you're coexisting in your marriage. But faithfulness to each other is not just coexisting and not cheating on each other. It means consistently loving each other. It means giving yourself to each other. It means sacrificing yourself for each other. That's faithfulness. It's not just show up and don't blow it. At work, faithfulness is more than just showing up and doing my job, right? It's loving my boss and loving my coworker. It's looking out for their best interests, even if they don't know God, even if they don't know Jesus. In fact, loving them as when you go to work, it's showing the love of Jesus to them so that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior. That's faithfulness. It's not just showing up to work and doing your job. It's loving the people around you at your work. That's faithfulness. At church, faithfulness is not just coming and sitting in the same seat in the same pew chair every week, you know, or going to your respective groups and being here at least three times a month. That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is, are you actively loving each and every other member of the body of Christ here at Bible Center? Are you using your spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ? Are you looking at people and getting to know those that are down the row from you that you don't even know their name yet? Are you finding out what their needs are and actively meeting those? That is true faithfulness because it's attached to love. And in your personal relationship with God, faithfulness doesn't mean just turning away, you know, from sin and not turning away from Him and just keep believing. Faithfulness to God means loving Him more and more each day. It means spending time with Him and His Word. It means understanding His heart and doing what He says. It's growing in Him. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, as we think about faithfulness, it is very easy and very quick. It can be very quick, the departure from the fruit of the Spirit. I travel a lot, as John mentioned, and the part that I enjoy the least about traveling is just getting to the airport until I get to the gate. And of course, everyone's favorite moment is going through the TSA checkpoint. And so I remember years ago, I was on my way to, I can't even remember where, I'm in Albany, I go through the TSA checkpoint, but before I got to the airport, I remembered I forgot my toothpaste. And so I swung by Walmart, I bought a nice, big, mega-sized toothpaste in a box, and I put it in my bag. I've had toothpaste in my bag 1,000 times. But this particular day, they pull my bag for secondary screening, and the lady looks at me and she says, pulls out the toothpaste. She's like, what is this? I'm like, that's my toothpaste. She said, well, you can't have this. This is too much toothpaste for an airplane. I said, ma'am, it's still in a box. I haven't even opened it. It's brand new. I have the receipt. She's like, I'm sorry, sir. You cannot carry this toothpaste on the airplane. And I said, so what are you going to do with it? And she's like, I'm sorry. Just got to throw it out. And she throws it in the trash can right in front of me after me arguing with her for a while. So then I go, I'm like, so I have to give up. What am I going to do? So I go to my gate and very quickly find out that now my flight has been canceled. So I start to come back and I got to now go back and get a car and drive to another airport. And as I'm doing that, I'm like, oh, wait, my toothpaste. So I know you're saying this man is strange, but so I stop by TSA. And I'm like, hello, ma'am, I'm here again. I'm here for my toothpaste. I'm like, you took it away. I said, my flight got canceled, so I guess I can get my toothpaste back, right? And she's like, no, I'm sorry, you can't have your toothpaste back. Like, what are you talking about? I said, I see it right there. It's in the trash can that I threw it in. I'm looking at it. She's like, sir, once things go in that can, they cannot come back out. I said, ma'am, all you have to do is reach in and grab the, I have the receipt right here. Remember, you remember me. We had this conversation. I was just here 10 minutes ago. All I need you to do, I mean, I'm thinking this is $3.50 I spent on this toothpaste. All you have to do is reach in there and give it. I said, or if you want, turn away and I will just reach in there real quick, you know. I'm sorry, sir. Once it goes in there, it cannot come back out. And so I was not happy. And all the people around me are looking at me in the TSA line at this point. So finally, I gave up. I mean, she won. She's the TSA agent. And so I walk away. And then the Spirit of God hits me. And I'm like, you just lost your testimony over a tube of toothpaste. And I realized that at that moment, I had violated
all the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, I didn't love her. I wasn't showing love. I wasn't showing joy. I wasn't at showing peace, because obviously I was all riled up about a $3.50 tube of toothpaste. I wasn't showing gentleness. I wasn't being good. I certainly wasn't showing self-control. And in all of this, in that moment, I was not faithful. Because there was not an ongoing expression of love. In that moment, I wasn't loving the TSA agent. I wasn't loving God. I wasn't loving the people in line that were watching the spectacle. Faithfulness is not determined just by the big things in life. Faithfulness is determined even by the tube of toothpaste at the TSA desk. It's how I treat the person when I go out to lunch, the waiter or the waitress. It's how I treat the person when something doesn't go my way and I'm frustrated. Faithfulness is determined by how I love someone who's betrayed me. Faithfulness is determined by how I love when I'm in the midst of disappointment. Faithfulness is this ongoing expression of love. So real quick, just to wrap up, we said that there were two passages, and I just want to real quickly look at the second passage as we close. In this one is again from Jesus, and I believe this passage, I think, is the key passage in all the scripture that helps us understand what faithfulness is. And we see this in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. I'm not going to read the whole passage. You probably know this story, you've heard it before, and the idea is Jesus is telling a story, and it's in this text that we see this famous phrase, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That thing that most all of you said, yeah, that's what I want to hear Jesus say to me. This is where that comes from. And I believe Jesus is telling this story because he wants to explain to us what true faithfulness looks like. And so he tells this story, as Jesus does, this parable about a master who goes away on a journey, and he leaves with each of his three servants a certain amount of money. In fact, an amazing, massive amount of money. To one, he leaves 5 talents. One talent was a massive amount of money, maybe worth millions of dollars. This one servant, he leaves 5 talents, and then to another, he leaves 2 talents, and then to another, he leaves 1 talent. And then we pick up the story here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached and presented 5 more talents and said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I've earned 5 more talents. And his master said to him, verse 21, here it is, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." The man with 2 talents also approached, and he said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more. And his master said to him again, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But dropping down to verse 24, he said, the man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, "Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." Verse 26, his master replied to him, "You evil and lazy servant, if you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I returned." Jesus here is trying to explain to us what faithfulness is, what it looks like. And we said that faithfulness is an ongoing expression of love, and here I think we see a second thing that faithfulness is. You see, there's 3 things that these servants could have done, 3 ways that they could have responded to the master's command when he gave them this money to invest. First thing they could have done is they could have misused it, right? They could have been like, "Woo, party! The master is gone. Let's go for it. You know, open bar. You know, I'm gonna go get a brand new toga and some sandals, a,
a brand new, straight off the lot, you know, top tech camel, you know, to ride in, and we're going to do all this. I'm just going to spend it all. But is that what he did? No, he didn't do that. Yet, interestingly enough, that's what we do a lot of times with what God gives us. You know, we learn that every good and perfect gift that we have, James 1:17, comes from above. Everything good that you have comes from God. Every good thing that I have comes from God. And yet, many times, we take all the good that God gives us and we spend it on ourselves. We misuse it. Here in this text, nobody misused it. They didn't spend it on themselves. But then what do we see? We see this servant who had the one talent, what did he do? He went and he hid it in the ground. And when the master came back, he pulled it out and he presented to the master exactly as it was. See, this is the second option. Not to misuse, but to simply maintain. To maintain. That's all he did. He maintained. He gave him one, he gave back one. But you know what? I believe that today, that is in many ways the church's definition of faithfulness. That's Christian's definition of faithfulness. Show up and not blow it. Just maintain. Be good. Keep your nose clean. Go on time, come back on time. That's it. What did the master say to that servant? Did he call him good and faithful? No. It's shocking. He called him wicked and lazy. And this is why it's so important for us to have the same definition of faithfulness as Jesus. Because it's possible that we will have spent our entire life sitting in one of these chairs and yet show up one day in front of Jesus and he will look at us and say, slothful, lazy, self-absorbed. I gave you all of this. And you just showed up, that's all. Because what is Jesus' definition of faithfulness? Well, we see that with the servant with five and the servant with two. What did they do? They didn't misuse. They didn't maintain. What did they do? They multiplied. And that's the idea. I believe that's the second very important concept about faithfulness. It's an ongoing expression of love. But the second thing is this, is that faithfulness doesn't maintain. Faithfulness multiplies. It multiplies what? Well, what we've already seen. It multiplies the love of God into the lives of other people. We see that if we go back into John chapter 15, verse 16, the original passage we've been looking at. Let's look at those last two verses. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." He's not talking about salvation here. He's looking at his disciples and saying, I have chose you for service. To do what? I appointed you to go and produce fruit and that your fruit should remain. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command. Love one another. So Jesus is looking at his disciples and he is saying, I have chosen you, I've appointed you, and Jesus looks at every single one of us here today. He says, I've chosen you for a purpose. And that purpose isn't just for you to sit home, fat, dumb, and happy. My purpose for you is for you to go and to bear fruit. And not just to produce quantities of fruit by bearing fruit, but quality of fruit. And that is fruit that remains, fruit that multiplies. When he says remains, the idea isn't like, well, this is a plum that's going to sit here, and it's like a special magical plum that's never going to rot, and it's just going to stay there, and it's going to be the same. No, the idea of fruit that remains is fruit that will always be producing more fruit. There will always be fresh fruit. And how does that happen? Because the seed of this fruit creates another seed that creates this fruit, that creates another seed that creates this fruit. It is multiplication is what Jesus is talking about. So when we bring this all back together, it's love that multiplies in the lives of other people. So husbands, you are loving your wives in a way that it will multiply into the lives of the people that she knows. Parents, you are loving your children in such a way that when as they grow, they will love God and they will love others.
Worker, when you go into work, you are loving others and hopefully leading people to Jesus so that then they can do the same thing with other people. That is fruit that remains. Church, you are here as the body of Christ, called to love one another in such a way that you are multiplying into them so that when you are gone and you're no longer part of Bible Center Church, when you're dead and gone or where God moves you to some other place, your life will have made an impact here in Charleston, West Virginia. That is fruit that remains, and that is because faithfulness is the ongoing expression of love for God and for other people, but that faithfulness and that love must multiply. That is what faithfulness is all about. It's not just showing up and not blowing it. So if that's kind of where you've been hanging out in your life, I just want to encourage you. There's so much more to it. And God deserves it. He deserves our obedience, but his commands are not burdensome. They're beautiful. They're for our good. They're for his glory. And the greatest thing we can do is multiply his love both personally into the lives of others. That is what true faithfulness is all about. So, Father, thank you that even though we love you, you loved us first. And that love that is from you has transformed our lives. And we pray, I pray for my dear brothers and sisters here at Bible Center, that you would multiply your love through them like never before in the lives of their family, their friends, their co-workers, each other, that their fruit might remain. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information, visit us at BibleCenterChurch.com and give us a follow on all platforms at Bible Center.